Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I am myself to no one there, and no one heard at all, not even the chair. I am my cry.
He's had massive hits, legions of fans, but that's still not enough for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, we dare to debate Neil Diamond's iconic legacy. And a little bit later, Grammy-nominated singer, songwriter, and bassist Michelle Indigiocello plays live for us. But first, we're about to enter dangerous territory. A Soundcheck smackdown on Neil Diamond. And we are scared. Very scared. So we've decided to check with someone who has experience with the subject. Pulitzer Prize-winning author and columnist Dave Barry wrote in his column in 1992 that this Neil Diamond song, I Am, I Said, was just bad. He was soon overwhelmed by hate mail, so before wading into such hostile territory, we decided to get some advice from him on the perils of enraging Neil Diamond's fan base. Dave Barry, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you, John.
I remember reading that column back in 1992 and the line about, you know, not even the chair.
Well, yeah, I just want to clarify here. I certainly would never say that Neil Diamond's songs were bad. Never again, anyway. what I said was that I was really not very fond of the lyric where he says, I am, I said, to no one there and no one heard it all. Not even the chair. Mm-hmm. My feeling is, duh, Neil. You know, it's a chair. I bet the table didn't pick up on what you said either. But because these are pieces of furniture, that was really my criticism. I felt that the man, you know, he's a professional. He should have spent another 30 seconds to come up with a line for there than chair. That's all. That's all I'm saying. However, having said that, I didn't really think that it would cause that much fuss when I wrote that column. But it was kind of like what happened to Salman Rushdie, but mm-hmm. worse.
But worse.
Yeah. The Neil Diamond fans are very...
Well, but wait a minute. Salman Rushdie was put under a death sentence, a death threat.
Well, yeah. And I say, compared to me, he got off easy. I don't think he's still getting mail. And I am. People, the Neil Diamond people... they're strong believers in Neil, and I got mail like you wouldn't believe. I got mail was, you know, drenched in spittle, and it would say things like, how dare you criticize this genius, this man. Mr. Barry, I listened to Heartlight 15 times and it cured my goiter. And, you know, like that, you know, they're believers, they love Neil. And I got not just mail, but I had people approach me, people called me. People sort of vaguely threatened me, not so much with death, but with cancellation of their subscription, which is probably, in their minds, at least as bad. So it was intense.
You had, at this point, skewered many, many famous people and institutions in your column over the years. Going into this, did you have any idea that you might be, you know, basically treading into a pit of vipers?
No, and you're right. I have made fun of many, many, many people, many, many celebrities, you know, many politicians. Never did I get a reaction like that. And at one point, I actually saw, I think it was Katie Couric interviewing Neil Diamond on some show somewhere some years ago, and she brought it up. And she said, what about that song where you sing – and he actually laughed and said, yeah, a guy wrote a whole book about that. So I was pleased to know that somehow it reached all the way to Neil. And I also got invited by somebody in the Neil Diamond organization – this is, again, some years ago – to attend a Neil Diamond concert. But it was kind of like reaching out generous. Hey, he's got a sense of humor, which apparently he does, mm-hmm. kind of gesture. But I didn't go for fear that it would be a trap and I would be pounded, you know, just be a smear on the ground where I used to be once the Neil Diamond people found out I was there. Hey, it's the guy who made fun of I Am, I Said. Get him. You know, that's what I was afraid of.
Well, now, you know, we've learned over the years that a lot of times when a person really makes fun of something, it's done out of love, you know, as much as anything else. Dave Barry, do you underneath it all.
You never heard that from anybody who writes humor for a living, but go ahead.
Well, so there is no hidden, deep-seated love, some grudging respect for Neil Diamond?
No, okay, that I will speak to. I don't love him. I'm not a huge Neil Diamond fan, but he has written a lot of great songs. I mean, I like Neil Diamond. I've never been to a Neil Diamond concert, but I understand it's very much like a religious revival, and everybody sings along to Cracklin' Rosie, and they do all these, I don't know what all they do. Maybe they get naked. Maybe they worship Neil naked. I don't know, but I understand it's kind of like a revival meeting and pretty strong.
Dave Barry is many things, Pulitzer Prize-winning author and columnist and humorist, and also the man who took on the Neil Diamond fan base in that 1992 column. And, Dave, it triggered a kind of a survey among your readers of other bad lyrics.
Yeah, it was wonderful if you're a columnist. I got such angry mail from the Neil Diamond fans that my next column consisted almost entirely of quotes from angry Neil Diamond fans. But that set off this counter wave of mail from people who agreed with me and wanted to talk about other songs they hate. And it turns out that people say Americans don't care about issues, but they care about bad songs. And I ended up getting like 20,000 letters, ended up writing a book about bad songs. But I got to say, the song voted worst song of all time was not a Neil Diamond song. He didn't even finish in the top five. It was MacArthur Park that won that particular survey.
Although Neil Diamond's Play Me got a lot of votes, apparently.
I Am the Moon. I Am the Play Me.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, he's never going to compete with, like, Bobby Goldsboro. Like, she wrecked the car, and she was sad and so afraid that I'd be mad. But what the heck?
Dave, you have any advice for us, any parting advice for us before we begin our smackdown of Neil Diamond?
Please do not give anyone my home address.
Dave Barry, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
You are the sun, I am the moon. You are the words, I am the tune. Play me. Something gonna show me tonight, yeah. She got the way to move me, cherry.
She got the way to move me. She got the way to move me,
cherry.
So, a cautionary tale from columnist and author Dave Barry here on Soundcheck, but apparently not cautionary enough. I'm John Schaefer, and Neil Diamond will release a holiday album next week called A Cherry Cherry Christmas, and here at Soundcheck, that album gave us some pause for thought. Sure, Neil Diamond has sold 125 million albums worldwide and scored 37 top 10 singles. But Diamond didn't chart a number one album till last year, and once again his name is not on this year's list of nominees for induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Maybe Bill Murray said it best in the 1991 film What About Bob, when he divided people into two camps, those who like Neil Diamond and those who don't. Well, we've assembled a delegate from each camp to answer a simple question. Neil Diamond, cherry cherry or cheesy cheesy? And here's how they're going to answer it.
Soundcheck Smackdown!
Joining us for today's Smackdown, John Bream. He's a huge Neil Diamond fan. He's the pop music critic at the Minneapolis Star Tribune and author of the new book, Neil Diamond Is Forever. But Mike Pesca has gone sour on Sweet Caroline. He's a reporter for NPR. And joins us from the NPR studios in New York. John, Mike, to both of you, time to turn on the heart light. Mike, let me start with you. Cherry cherry or cheesy cheesy is our question.
Oh, you should also add that I'm also the author of the new book, Don't Read Mike's Book. It's an angry answer. I think Neil said it best when he said, you're the monkey wrench, I am the lawn chair, you're the hat rack, I am the swizzle stick.
Uh-huh.
I do not, if you want to like Neil Diamond, by all means, like Neil Diamond. And if you want to say Neil Diamond has made half a dozen to, not a dozen, but maybe nine really well-crafted pop songs, sure. But end it there, because to my ears, the man is overwrought, histrionic, and often commits lyrical crimes against humanity.
John, how do you respond to, you know, the Dave Barry column, to my, I mean, you know, people do often look at the lyrics and say, oh, God, it's really schmaltzy, really cheesy stuff.
Well, you can't always take the lyrics out of context. They're song lyrics. They're not things to be written in a Hallmark card. You know, and I don't disagree with Mike. Some of his lyrics aren't the best, but the man is the hook master. How many Neil Diamond songs are humming in your head because he writes great instrumental hooks? Some of them are lyrical hooks. Some of the lyrics don't make sense. Not all lyrics make sense. Louie Louie, I mean, we can go find hundreds of songs in the history of pop music that don't make sense. It's the impact, the feeling that these things convey to people. And one of the things I like about Neil is when he's in concert, he connects with his audience the same way that Neil Young does, the same way that Bruce Springsteen does, the same way that Prince, all the great rock heroes that we have, Neil connects with them even though he's a generation older than some of these people. He leaves his fans not wanting more.
Mike, you know, he is known to be sort of the consummate showman, although the shirts seem to be buttoned up a few more buttons in these years than they used to be in the past. I mean, is part of what...
I think that's an OSHA requirement. I'm not quite sure how that actually works. But.
Have you actually ever been to a Neil Diamond concert?
Well, this is one of those things whenever you debate aesthetics, the person who is against that particular aesthetic will almost necessarily not know as much as the guy who wrote a book on it. But I was at a Bruce Springsteen show 2 days ago, and I'm going to a Bruce Springsteen show 2 days from now. And I would reckon that 80,000 people at least sang songs that had some meaning and told a story and didn't sing songs. Again, America is a fine song. Cherry Cherry is a lot of fun. Sweet Caroline, if you want to go, it's humming in your ears. Well, so's a concussion grenade. These are fine little ditties, but what is the greater meaning? Now, if Neil Diamond and the people who like him were to say, I like Neil Diamond because he doesn't mean a lot, and I like to kind of put my brain on hold like a piece of like a popcorn movie or something that's not challenging, I'll say have at it. You know, that's great. But let's not pretend that Neil Diamond is any deeper or any better than he is. And when you compare him to Springsteen, compare him to Neil Young, it's an insult to those two other artists.
I'm talking about them as performers, Mike. I didn't say as songwriters. I'm talking about the way they perform. I'm going to see Springsteen in two nights, too. I've seen him already this year. I saw Neil Diamond two times last year. The way he connects with his audience, his audience is different from a Springsteen audience, different from a Neil Young audience, but he satisfies his audience.
Is it simply a generational thing? Is that how the audience is different?
No, the audience is different because, you know, Neil Diamond's audience will be primarily, you know, baby boomer, middle-aged women, and then there's a whole generation of young people that have discovered him either through Pulp Fiction or Saving Silverman or whatever. And, you know, as opposed to Springsteen's audience, which are baby boomers that grew up on him, there's certainly going to be more men at a Springsteen show than there are going to be at Neil Diamond.
Well, you know, Dave.
Well, the Reverend Sun Young Moon connects with his audience as well. If that's the standard that his fans like him, I could bring almost anyone who's at least quasi open to Bruce Springsteen. And after 3 hours, they always turn to me and say, that was worth it. I'll never forget that. I don't think Neil Diamond could convert the non-fan at his concert.
How can you say that, Mike, if you've never seen the show?
Well, I've also never injected LSD into my spine, which is something that Neil Diamond sings about, and it's not something that I would want to experience in order to recommend or not. And maybe we could play that clip later.
You're talking about the pot smokers song, right?
Let's
give our listeners a chance to catch their breath a bit. This is Neil Diamond, 1968.
I want to get high, never give it up if you give it a try. La, 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 la.
I started when I was 13, and I had saw some people smoking pot, and I bought myself a nickel bag, and I went behind my building and sat on a bench all by myself, and I smoked that bag, you know, until I finally got high. I started with pot because I was curious, and at that time I was having problems with my family. I remember on one trip, I was at a party, and I got very sick from speed, from meth, and I used to shoot it in my spine. I also used to shoot acid in my spine, and I had too much. I was building a big thing up over a week, and I got sick, and I tried to commit suicide.
La, 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 pot, pot, give me some pot, forget what
what you are, you can be what you're not. Do take a family cruise. You with your grass, mom and dad with their...
Okay, Neil Diamond and the Pot Smokers song from his 1968 record Velvet Gloves and Spit. John,
experimental rock, no doubt, John.
John, I think your job just got a little bit tougher.
Yeah, and then he followed that song with Crunchy Granola Sweet.
Well, what do you make of the both the lyrics, the sort of interminable nature of the story that's being told over the la la las?
Well, I mean, that's an old song, you know, we're taking out of context. And, you know, I don't think he's proud of every single song he's ever written. The man needs an editor.
Mm-hmm. What about, let's take another song.
I nominate Dave Barry to be the editor, by the way.
Sweet Caroline. Mike, you do a lot of sports coverage for NPR. This song has somehow become the unofficial anthem of Red Sox Nation, despite which Neil Diamond is, and this is a huge mark in his favor, a Yankees fan. What's going on here?
This stuff happens all the time where someone who's a fan of one team, their songs will be appropriated by another. But if you want to talk about Sweet Caroline, I love the song. Who doesn't love that song? Who doesn't love the ba-ba-ba aspect of the song? And I can see why all of, well, it turns out my engineer Manoli doesn't love the song. She raises her hand. But it's a fun little ditty, which is the best we can say of most of Neil. Let's give a listen.
Reaching out, touching me, touching you.
Caroline, big hit in 1969, 40 years ago for Neil Diamond and the unofficial theme song of Red Sox Nation. Listeners, what do you think of Neil Diamond? Are you a believer, or have you soured on the man behind Sweet Caroline? Does he belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Call us at 212-433-WNYC or leave a comment online at WNYC.org. Our SmackDown continues in a moment. And later on the program, the bassist, singer, and songwriter Michelle Indigeocello has worked with everyone from guitarist Pat Metheny to the Rolling Stones. She joins us to talk about her latest solo album, and she'll play live with her band in our studio later on Soundcheck. Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. More now in our Soundcheck SmackDown. This week we're debating the legacy of pop superstar Neil Diamond. His 40-year career includes beloved hits like Sweet Caroline and Solitary Man, but that career also includes some clunkers. Some might include this tune, Heartlight, which was inspired by the movie E.T., the Extraterrestrial. I'm joined once again by music critic John Bream, author of the new book, Neil Diamond is Forever, from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. And on the line with me from the NPR Bureau in New York is NPR reporter Mike Pesca. And guys, the specific thing that sort of started us thinking in terms of a Neil Diamond SmackDown is the fact that, once again, the nominees for induction in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame are out, and once again, Neil Diamond is not one of them. Here's a 68-year-old guy with a 40-year career. The numbers are hard to argue with. 125 million albums sold, 16 top 10 albums, 37 top 10 singles. Mike, I mean, even you on the anti-side of the debate, why is he not even up for induction into the Hall of Fame?
I wouldn't count his genre of music as rock and roll. And that's always a controversial statement. And I know the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has people who founded rock and roll, and they have rap groups, and they have a very liberal definition.
Mm-hmm.
But how are any of the songs that we heard? A lot of them are good pop songs. Maybe the songs he wrote for the Monkees are, you know, proto rock and roll.
I'm a Believer, yeah.
I don't know that Heartlight, you know, belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And if you want to put it in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know, all of that is fine. And for a while, I was thinking maybe this is just a generational thing. I'm 30 years younger than Neil Diamond. I'm also male. And as Mike talked about, we know his demographic is, you know, the opposite of that. But he was born in 1941. And I just looked up some of the other people who were born in 1941, musicians. So to prove to myself it's not generational. Dylan, Eric Burdon, Paul Kantner of Jefferson Airplane, Aaron Neville, Richie Valens, both Simon and Garfunkel, Mama Cass. I don't think it has to do with age. I just think it has to do with output. We should also note that Zamfir, master of the pan flute, also born in 1941. And he's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame either.
John,
and is he rock and roll?
He's about as rock and roll as Mr. Diamond, I would say.
It's about popular music. I mean, there's lots of people in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame who aren't pure rock and roll, whether it's Joni Mitchell or Bob Marley or whoever. The reason he's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is, A, he's never been on the ballot. You have to be on the ballot. I'm a voter. We don't get to write in. It's not like other sporting
Hall of Fame.
The question is there's a nominating committee, and it's an elitist nominating committee, and they put who they think are important people, and they have a bias against Neil Diamond for whatever reason. He's been eligible since 1991. KISS finally made the ballot. They've been eligible for 10 years. They're on the ballot this year for the first time. Same with Genesis. You know, there's this little elitism snob thing by Jan Wenna, who's in charge of the committee, the way they run the Rock and Roll
publisher
thing.
Of Rolling Stone.
How many times has Neil Diamond been on the cover of Rolling Stone? Once, 1976. Why? Because Robbie Robertson of the band, good friend of Jan Wenna, produced Neil Diamond's Beautiful Noise, which, by the way, I think is his best album.
All right. There are many, many comments coming in and a full bank of phone calls as well. As we often do with these Smackdowns, let's check in with producer Joel Meyer in the control room. He's moderating the comments. Joel?
John, some of our listeners are weighing in on this Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Neil Diamond controversy, if you want to call it that. Tomas from Ontario writes, Neil's contributed more to rock and roll than some of those already inducted. It's possible some can't accept that Neil is still out there providing entertainment to millions. He doesn't need to be retired or dead to be inducted. Cynthia from Long Island, however, makes this point. Does anyone care about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Overall, John, lots of support for Neil Diamond and for John Bream's position on this Soundcheck Smackdown. But one, Alistair from Midtown writes in, while there are Neil Diamond songs I like, when he sucks, he really sucks. I can't think of anything more boring than Diamond's song In the Last Waltz, that movie that John Bream just mentioned.
Let's see what some of our Soundcheck listeners have to say. Sophia joining us from Brooklyn and Jane joining us from Port Washington. Sophia is on Mike Pesca's side of the argument. Jane is a Neil Diamond supporter along with John Bream.
That's right.
Well, welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Jane, what do you like about him?
Everything. I think he's sexy. I think he's energetic. I think his music just stays in your head. It hits my soul. I've seen him at least five times in concert. I'm 48 years old, but I brought a friend of mine last year to see him. She came on a mercy mission for my birthday, and she was a converted fan. She loves him. She was on her feet rocking the whole time.
All right, Sophia, what's your beef with Neil Diamond?
Have mercy on me. I can't stand him. My biggest question is, when you guys mentioned Sweet Caroline, why has nobody even approached the subject of the fact that he wrote Touching Me, Touching You for an 11-year-old Caroline Kennedy? Doesn't that, like, get creepy for anybody?
He didn't mean it necessarily in physical touching.
It's touching your heart.
You know what? I don't know what then he meant, because it's above my
that
pay grade.
That song is an American pop icon classic song. It's not just it's for sporting events. It's for groups everywhere, from bars across America to Fenway.
Well, if some old man wrote that for my now 7-year-old daughter when she's 11, I think I would hide her from society from then on.
What about all his other great songs? What about his songs?
Yeah, what about Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon?
I was just going to mention
what
the same song.
What about Flowers with Barbara Streisand? I mean, you don't have to necessarily like him to think that he doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame. He still has a place.
I don't care if he's in the Hall of Fame or not. I really don't think he's rock and roll, so I really don't see why he would be nominated. I mean, Barbara Streisand, I think she's wonderful. I think she's had clunkers.
Right.
I think he's got talent. I just can't stomach him.
All right.
Well,
so,
but that's not really what we're debating here. We're debating if you don't like them, then you're not going to want them in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
There is right. And Jane, there is a Songwriters Hall of Fame, and I'm sure you as a big fan are aware that Neil Diamond is in the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Does he belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Very different question. Mike Pesca, I went to the exact same song that you brought up, Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon. Very kind of creepy version of that in the film Pulp Fiction by the band Urge Overkill. That is rock and roll. You know, is that enough to get him into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I don't know, but this is how Urge Overkill did it.
Love so much, can't count all the ways I died for you, girl, and all they can say is, he's not your kind. They never get tired of putting me down, and I never know when I come around what I'm gonna find. Don't let them make up your mind. Don't you know, girl, you'll be a woman soon.
All right, well, not the Urge Overkill version, obviously, but the Neil Diamond original. John, probably best not to go into too deeply what this song might be about, but, you know,
Neil told me that he liked the Urge Overkill version because it's dark and it fit the scene in the movie, if you remember it. It's one of those first romantic scenes, so to speak, between Travolta and Uma Thurman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I saw Urge Overkill sing the song in a Neil Diamond tribute earlier this year. You had Urge Overkill singing songs, Coldplay, Jennifer Hudson, Foo Fighters. Kid Rock was even there singing Neil Diamond songs.
And one of our listeners, Jonathan from Williamsburg, has a very telling comment about our debate on Neil Diamond. Didn't Jack Black put this to rest in 2001 with Saving Silverman and his Neil Diamond tribute band? Don't cross Neil or Jack will show up at your door and cause trouble. Mike Pesca, you don't want that happening.
Well, we should also note, if Gary Puckett is still allowed to walk around as a free man, we can't really ding Neil Diamond that much for his, talking about girls who'll be a woman soon. John mentioned that the only Rolling Stone cover, and I got a good I went back. I read that magazine. I read that cover story. And there is a quote in there that says, Neil Diamond is like America itself. Think of it. He's hugely successful. He's done a lot of amazing things over the year. And yet it remains utterly unhip to say anything remotely nice about him. And I was thinking about that quote, and I took the exact opposite conclusion. I think he's not like America, because I think America does the big things right, like civil liberties and winning the important wars. But I think maybe the little details like freedom fries and getting an Olympics to come to Chicago, sometimes America screws up on. And I think Neil Diamond just doesn't get the big things right. He does a lot of good little pop songs, and you could debate Hall of Fame or not Hall of Fame, and that's fine with me. It's just he's never done anything really important that will stand the test of time except as a fun little pop ditty.
John, does he belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I think he does, and if they'll put him on the ballot, I will certainly vote for him. I'm a voter.
All right, John Bream.
I'm a believer.
He's a believer, and he's the pop music critic for the Star Tribune in Minneapolis and author of the new book, Neil Diamond is Forever, the illustrated story of the man and his music, which comes out next week, same week as Neil Diamond's Christmas record. Mike Pesca, NPR reporter who covers sports and much more and occasionally guest hosts shows like On the Media and The Brian Lehrer Show here at WNYC. John, Mike, thank you both. To everyone who called in and many, many people leaving comments online, thank you for being part of our Soundcheck SmackDown.
Thank you, and thanks to all the tree people.
And Mike, I'll be glad to take you to Neil Diamond's show next time he's on tour.
All right, halfway between Minnesota and New York, you got it.
Still to come, a live performance in our studio from bassist, singer, and songwriter Michel Ndiaye-Ocello. And tune in tomorrow for interviews with two musicians with a flair for the outrageous, rocker Lenny Kravitz and singer Rufus Wainwright, tomorrow on Soundcheck.
Just to be where you are. But I couldn't get far in the dark.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
There was one big strike against Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline. My mother liked it. I mean, what 10-year-old boy wants to like the same music as his mom? Surely at just over 30 years of age, she must be nearing senility and death and couldn't be expected to like anything good.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.